Two things before I begin. One, I want to express again my thanks to Bruce and to all the other folks who made sure that worship happened last week when I was not here. And maybe we'll sometime figure out a way that you can actually hear my wife preach. But thank you for all those who covered when I was really not someone you wanted to be around last Sunday. Secondly, that was a lot of reading, wasn't it? A lot of different verses. But all of it's going to tie together, because all of these verses remind us of what it means to live in a righteous way. And we'll talk about what righteous means. But the point of all of these is, how is Jesus teaching us to live with each other? How is Jesus teaching us to be in relationship with each other so that we bless each other and that we can be blessed in return? Would you all please join me in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, guide our thoughts and words this day. You are the potter. We are your clay. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Lent. First Sunday in this season of preparation. This is a time of year when we remember the final several weeks of Jesus' life as he turned his eyes to Jerusalem, which is roughly, I think, what the Gospel of Luke says. This is also the time of year when, as we get near the end of it, we remember Jesus' Last Supper with the apostles, that we remember Jesus' death. And this is the time of year that we prepare ourselves for the great good news that death could not contain Jesus, that Jesus rose from the dead, and that sin and death have been defeated for all time. So what are we supposed to do with Lent, exactly? Are we supposed to give up chocolate, or coffee, or maybe meat, if you want to be really bold? Why do we do that? What is this season of Lent about? Well, I don't think we all have to do exactly the same thing in the season of Lent. God calls us to do different things to grow in our faith. But the key thing I want to say is, let us seek to grow in our faith in this season of Lent. In the early church, 1,500 years ago, 1,800 years ago, the season of Lent was a time for study and preparation for those who wished to be baptized. Throughout the season of Lent, people would prepare for their baptism. And then, in a very special service called the Easter Vigil, in the middle of the night, people would come together and worship. And then, as Easter morning was beginning, they would be baptized. In some churches, the baptismal fonts would even look like what they thought Jesus' tomb looked like. So that as they were baptized on that early Easter morning, they were, in a sense, rising to a new life in Jesus Christ, just as Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, I don't know anybody who still makes a baptismal font that looks like a tomb, but some churches still do baptisms on Easter. Megan and I had a good friend named Katie, who we got to know in seminary, and she came to Christ in her college years at Boston University. And so in the wee hours of Easter morning one year, she was baptized, and she entered in to a life, a new life with Jesus Christ. And I share this because Lent should still be a time of preparation and reflection for us. It can be a time of reflection if we're thinking about maybe being baptized, or even if we've been baptized a long time. It can be a time of reflection of how can we take the next step in following Jesus Christ. Or maybe it's a time to consider if we want to, for the first time in our life, make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. The point is that in these 40 days of Lent, we can focus on God and we can think about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, before I go any farther, for the next several weeks, you're going to hear a lot about being a disciple. So what does that actually mean? It's a pretty churchy word, isn't it? I can say that I've heard the word disciple used places outside of church, but not usually. So what does it mean to be a disciple? Well, it's one of those words that has a couple of meanings, and if you think about one meaning over the other, it can create a lot of confusion. Being a disciple is not being exactly like the 12 closest followers of Jesus Christ. I'm going to try, we'll see if I succeed, and call them apostles throughout Lent, because they had a very specific role. They lived with Jesus probably for 3 years. They followed him. They learned from him. And Jesus prepared and equipped them to go out and to spread the good news of Jesus Christ all over the world. And because of what they did, And in the case of 11 of the 12 of them, because they were willing to lay down their life for Jesus, that is what started the Christian movement. And in many ways, we owe it to them, the fact that we know the good news of Jesus Christ to this day. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is not to be exactly like them. Though who knows, maybe someone here will be called someday to go far away and start churches and invite people to get to know Jesus Christ for the first time. But to be a disciple is something we are all called to, because it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to seek to learn what Jesus taught through words and deeds, and then to try to live those out. Now, to be a disciple means we're not going to all end up the same. It's not like we're all going to be something thrown into a hopper, all mixed up into dough, and all come out as identical Krispy Kreme donuts. Each one of us will have a unique relationship with God, and God will call each one of us to be a disciple in a unique way. But the point is that if we are a disciple, we always put Jesus first. We remember to consider what Jesus taught us about God and about loving other people. And we put that first in all the decisions in our lives. Jesus in the scriptures teaches us how to live and invites us into a life-changing relationship with God. And there are two sections in the scriptures that throughout this season of Lent we're going to be looking at. They're called sermons. The Sermon on the Mount from the Gospel of Matthew and the Sermon on the Plain in the Gospel of Luke. Now, there are some people who argue that this was actually the same sermon and the details were just written down slightly differently. Personally, I can't imagine that Jesus only ever said these things once. It's my understanding, it's a general rule of thumb, that in the modern world you have to learn something 7 times before you actually learn it. Well, my guess is the human brain probably worked pretty similar to that in ancient times as well. And I am pretty convinced that Jesus probably said the things that we hear in these two sermons many times as he preached to many different crowds. And I bet in particular he wanted to make sure those apostles heard it, because they were going to need to share this with people after he was gone. There's an old saying among preachers, if it was worth preaching once, it's probably worth preaching again, and who knows, maybe that goes all the way back to Jesus himself. Jesus, in these verses, wants to teach us how to be righteous. And I want to offer to you that righteous means holy relationships. Now, righteous does not mean self-righteous. Righteous does not mean constantly telling everyone else how you're better than them and how they should live exactly like you. That is not being a faithful follower of Jesus. That's being arrogant and obnoxious. Rather, righteousness is seeking to live in all relationships with fairness, with love, with holiness, with thinking about what is best for the other person. A righteous person does not enter into relationships trying to see what they can get out of it. What can I get this other person to do for me? Rather, a righteous person has regard for the well-beings and the hopes and the wishes and the needs and the dreams of those they come in contact with. And so let's really dig into what Jesus says about being a righteous person. We'll start where Mary began in reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Jesus describes what it means to be righteous. Jesus praises those who are meek, those who are poor in spirit. Does that mean Jesus is praising people who get walked all over? No. It means Jesus praises people who are humble, who are gentle, who are not out only for themselves, but who honestly want what's best for those around them. Jesus talks about hungering and thirsting for righteousness in some translations, about being willing to even suffer for righteousness. Jesus is calling us to be people who are so concerned with the well-being of those around us that we are willing even to pay the cost to try to help them, because sometimes there will be a cost. Jesus talks about blessed are the peacemakers. Well, being a peacemaker is not always easy. People won't always like it if we truly try to live in a way that is loving towards all that we meet. But Jesus will give us the strength to live this way. Jesus will give us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And Jesus will show us how we can do difficult tasks and through doing them, bless others and receive blessing ourselves. Jesus continues as Matthew goes along in the Sermon on the Mount to say more about what it means to be righteous, what it means to see every human being as a fellow child of God. Now, when we get into the parts in Matthew chapter 5, 21 and 22, we start to see something that's difficult. Something that honestly we wouldn't be able to do without God's help. All of us here have been hurt deeply by somebody. I wish it wasn't true, but I'm sure it's true for all of us, no matter our age. And all of us probably can think of some public figures, maybe a musician or an athlete or a politician or someone else who we don't really care for all that much. Now, we could say to ourselves, well, I really don't like this person, but at least I haven't murdered them. Now, let me tell you how much of a rat they are. But what did Jesus say? In Matthew 5:22, if we insult someone, we will be held liable. Righteous living means that we don't insult, we don't demean, we don't gossip about, we don't say rotten things about. Put another way, it's not just about making sure you never commit an act of physical violence. You shouldn't commit any acts of verbal violence either. Or dare I say, in our modern world, an act of keyboard violence of something nasty that you write to someone. That's really, really hard. I have not always lived this out the way I want to. And frankly, I don't think anyone can live this out the way we want to, except that God sends God's grace through the Holy Spirit to guide us and help us and make us more perfect and make us more loving day by day, even loving towards those that we may not like very much. Well, since my dad is sitting there, he taught me something very wise, I think, when I was about 13. Believe what you said, Dad, is God says you're supposed to love everyone. You may not like them all the time. And you were right. But the important thing is the love. And Jesus says it's not just about anger as well. There are other ways that we can act in ways that are not considering someone's well-being or being disrespectful. That passage 5:27 and 28 that talks about desire and lust. I remember once being told, well, look but don't touch. The question is, for those of us who are probably teenagers on up, why are we looking? If we look with lust, if we look with desire, if we look with things, if we treat other people and think of them as people who could be gratifying to us, but we're not considering what they want, what they need, their humanity, we can't do that. Jesus says we are never, ever to look at someone as a thing in any way, shape, or form. I'm not talking about being puritanical or holier than thou. I'm saying that when we see another human being, we are not allowed to ever view them as a piece of meat in any way, shape, or form. We're not allowed to view them as someone we can manipulate for any reason. And again, that's hard. But the Holy Spirit gives us what we need to do it. And finally, let's turn to the passages from Luke. Here Jesus lays it out in very blunt terms. It's not just about righteous living with the people who are nice to us, with the people who love us, with the people who it's easy for us to like. It's very easy for me to take time out of my day for someone who I like. It's a lot harder for me to be loving towards someone and take some time out of my day for someone who gets on my very last nerve. But Jesus says it's not just about giving to those you love. It's not just about giving to your friends or to your children or to your parents or to your brothers or sisters. It's about loving even your enemies, showing mercy even to people who've hurt you. As it says in Matthew 7:12, in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, I want to make one final thought. Talk is cheap. It's easy to say stuff. Jesus said all these things. But the power of the gospel is not just in Jesus' words, but in how Jesus lived out these teachings. Righteous and holy living and relationships. Jesus demonstrated that. If you look at the narrative of the Gospels, you see that time and time again, Jesus just wanted to be left alone so that Jesus could spend some time praying. And yet, when there were people who were suffering, Jesus took time out of his day to help them, even ones who were ungrateful, even ones who his disciples said weren't worth the effort, weren't worth the gift of healing and giving wholeness to. Time and time again, Jesus showed them mercy. And then you look at how Jesus loved his enemies. It is almost certain that at that last supper, the last meal that Jesus ate with the 12 apostles, one of the people sitting next to him in the position of honor was Judas, who for 30 pieces of silver had sold him out to be murdered in one of the most awful ways imaginable. And yet Jesus broke bread with him and treated him as a beloved friend. And finally, the Gospel of Luke records that as Jesus was being crucified, as people were perhaps driving the nails into his body, or as people were tormenting him as he hung there on the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus didn't just teach with his words. He taught with his actions. In some ways, maybe that's where the proof is, right? Talk is cheap. Living that way is harder. But Jesus will give us the strength to do likewise, to be faithful followers and holy disciples. So, fellow followers of Jesus Christ, let us try to be disciples this week. Let us try to be righteous this week. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen all at once. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect at it. Thank God that God is full of mercy and grace, because every one of us is going to goof up at some point. But could you be a peacemaker this week with someone? Maybe at work or school? Can you show mercy to someone who you may not know? Can you be kind to someone who annoys you at school, at work, at the store, with the server at the restaurant, on the road when someone cuts you off? Because we all know we've probably said something. Well, those of us who can drive have probably said something behind the wheel we shouldn't have. Can we try to be the loving and merciful and righteous people that Christ invites us to be? Because if we are, we can be such a blessing. And we will be so blessed by God, our Creator. May it be so. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.